Good morning. This is another letter from Paul. It's to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9 to 29. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For him, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everybody and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me.
Thanks, Noreen. It is a breathtaking picture of Jesus, isn't it? Image of the invisible God. By him all things were created. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. This is slow down and look at who we are talking about here. And we do want to slow down right now, especially if we're thinking about all the things that we do, if we're thinking about children's church, if we're thinking about our BFGs, if we're thinking about playing music, if we're thinking about those dreadful words in verse 29, for this I toil, and we think, yes, hard work, effort, week in, week out. Today, this is what we really want to look at, because this is what it's all about. Jesus, who walked the hills of Galilee with his friends, the Jesus we saw last month in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus from King David's family, Jesus who told the parables, Jesus who was so human, Jesus who went to Jerusalem and they arrested him. By him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth. Is it is it just that Paul came up late in the game and he doesn't know about those other things? You know, is it just that Paul thinks that Christ is the name for a powerful God and he doesn't know about what happened in Galilee? No, Paul knows all that story. He knows about King David's family. He knows about Jesus living a Jewish life. He knows about the other people in Jesus' family and on, but he gives us, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. I think that makes it even more amazing. Take a few minutes now to think together about what Paul tells us and get an inkling of the greatness of Jesus the Christ. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. In the New Testament, there are layers even to that. You know, we get echoes of Genesis, where Adam and Eve are God's image in this world. And in lots of ways, if you look at Adam and Eve in the created world, you're supposed to see a bit of what God is like. And we know Adam and Eve go a bit wrong. And if you look at the human race any time in history, expecting to see what God is like, you get a pretty messed up idea. But then we know Jesus' human life is different. We know from the Gospels, Jesus facing the temptations and never giving in. And we get Paul talking about him as him who knew no sin. So just in the human way, Jesus does the image of God thing differently from anyone else. But even better than that, something Adam could never do. Lots of places in the Bible, but John says it plainly. No one has ever seen God. But here, like in John, he is the image of the invisible God. Want to know anything about God? Look at Jesus. But then Paul just lets it cascade so that we cannot make any mistake. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. Now, careful with firstborn there, sandwiched in between being the image of God and being the creator of everything. It's not firstborn like the first created person born. It's firstborn like the special one, the unique one, the one with the special relationship, the one who inherits. A bit like God calls Israel his firstborn in Exodus chapter 4. Jesus is the unique one, the inheritor for all creation. Paul did not know about the scale of the universe the way that we do, with his huge distances and galaxies. But in these verses, Paul strains to give us a sense of how big this idea is. So in verse 16, Jesus is the agent of creation. And so that we know that that means all creation and not just bits of it, Paul gives us, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that is a standard Jewish way of talking about different kinds of angels. And that becomes important later on in Colossians, because these Colossians were at risk of getting a bit excited about angels, like some people do nowadays. But here, all the things in the universe that we can see, like rocks and stars and trees and elephants, they are created through Christ and for him. And all the things in the universe that we cannot see, like wind and sound and different kinds of angels. We are not so interested in thrones and dominions and things. So add invisible things like radio waves and dark matter and gravity to get the feel of it for us. All created through Christ and for him. The universe is through and for Jesus. And in case that wasn't too much for us, try the next bit. He is before all things. It's a bit like John's Gospel saying, in the beginning was the Word. Or a bit like Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I'm a splendid book by the Astronomer Royal, a fellow who used to be the president of the world's most prestigious scientific organisation, Martin Rees. Richard Dawkins once called him a compliant quisling, and Martin Rees is rather proud of that. Richard Dawkins has not been the president of the world's most prestigious scientific organisation. But the book is before the beginning, and it's thinking about how the universe works and how universes begin and whether there might be other universes. And Martin Rees knows, like we know, that it is complete gobbledygook to talk about before the beginning, because one of the things that goes with the beginning is it's the beginning of before and after. But how else are we going to talk about it? And Paul does the same thing here. What was there before the universe? Well, Christ was. And in case we want to do an Isaac Newton and think that maybe Christ wrote the software for the universe and then let it run, Paul gives us a bit more. In him, all things hold together. So the universe wasn't just created through him, he runs it. And in case we haven't got it yet, verse 18, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Okay, it's not our way of talking, it's not a way of putting things that ever got into our creeds, but everything that God is lives in Christ. Fully, completely. Way back when I first became a Christian believer and started reading the Bible, for me this was the big one. I mean, I knew we were saved through trusting in Jesus. That was what I found in the Bible, and I knew the bits we were thinking about before, Jesus in Galilee with his disciples, Jesus' resurrection, and the good reasons to believe, all of that really happened. I knew the basic doctrines and the creeds, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus, both God and man. I knew that that was Christian teaching. But I wanted to know, it's Christian teaching, but is it what the Bible teaches? Church teaches that Jesus is God the Son. All our songs teach that Jesus is God the Son. Our historic doctrines teach that Jesus is God the Son. But have we got it right? Is that what the Bible teaches? I was a student, and I remember these verses in Colossians being one of the big aha moments for me. And particularly way, way back as a student at a conference in Canberra, a primitive version of NTE, sort of caveman NTE in those days, looking at these verses in Colossians, and it was very, very clear. Jesus, the Son of God, really is God the Son. That is what the New Testament teaches. Everything that God is, Jesus is. How that works out with the Father being God, the Spirit being God, and them not being the same person, now that is an excellent set of questions for other days. But right here in these verses, the image of God. By him, all things were created. He is before all things. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Say that about the man we saw talking to the disciple Peter last week. And that just blows our circuit breakers. But it gets better. The firstborn of all creation, the image of the invisible God. What does he do? Verse 19. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace by the blood of his cross. Verse 21. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. This Christ, this image of the invisible God, this one who is preeminent in all things, what does he do with human beings who are alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds? He enters into this created world. He lives a human life that is not alienated or doing evil deeds. He gets arrested and put through a farce of a trial. He goes to the cross and dies in order to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. That is absolutely staggering, isn't it? I have no words for how great that is. The closest I can come is Paul's prayer in Ephesians, that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Because that's what it is. The depths of God's love, that this happens. Christ, who was before the beginning, becomes man and lives and dies and makes peace for us. That is breathtaking. And that is the fuel in the tank. That is our motive. That is our reason why. This is so big. This is so powerful. We want to wonder at this ourselves. And we want every man, woman and child on the planet to hear it. Like Paul says, way down in verse 28, him we proclaim. It's all about Christ. If this is the story of who Jesus is and what he has done, this is everything. This is how we are saved. And we get that bit in verse 27. The hope of glory. This is the pattern for how we behave with each other. The way that Christ has been here. Like in 3:1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and so on. And this great picture of Christ gives us our reason why. Verse 28. Everyone mature in Christ. That's it, isn't it? That's where we want everyone we know to wind up. No wonder we get Paul in verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energies that he powerfully works within me. It's all about Christ. So it's not something we achieve, or even Paul. So we get verse 9. We've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. But if this is Christ, maturing Christ is what we want. That's what we want for the kids in our kids' church classes. It's what we want for every teenager in Rock. It's where we want the mums and the grandmas of playtime to be. It's what we want for every person who comes along to learn English. It's what we pray for and we work for each other in our Bible fellowship groups. It's what we want for everyone who comes to international lunch or midwinter Christmas. This picture of Jesus is so compelling, so great, that in verse 28, it is him we proclaim, and it's why we do what we do. It's why what we do is worth doing. One of the great things with reading Colossians is that in this part of the Bible, we are after the cross, we are after Jesus' resurrection, we are with a crowd of Gentile believers, so we are very much in our own world. Allow that they live in the Roman Empire and we live in the suburbs in the 21st century, so we've got some pretty obvious differences in our lives and theirs. But generally, what Paul longs for these Colossians is what God has in mind for us too. And it's good to think that way about the things we do together. So verse 21, going from being alienated and hostile to God to verse 22, being reconciled to be holy and blameless. That is for us. Verse 9, praying to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That is for us. Verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That is for us. And in Christ, the way we see him here, we have the most powerful reason to do all those things. And think about them in the big picture too. Years ago, Peter Bolt at Moore College wrote a book with one idea in it to help us understand church and mission and what we do. Later, Col Marshall and Tony Payne remodeled the one idea, scrubbed off the serial numbers and published it as their own. And they put it in the hands of church leaders and Bible teachers all over the place. And it's a really helpful way, this one idea, of taking verses 21 and 28 and letting them put the things we do in place. We see Jesus and what he's done. Where we want to be, and where we want everyone to be, is over here. Mature in Christ. That's where we want to be, isn't it? So we want the things that we do to help people get there. But when we meet people, everyone is up to different places. Our friend Tim might be like these Colossians. He is a Christian believer. He's paying attention to what Jesus says in the Bible. What he wants is a Bible fellowship group where he can learn and pray and discuss with other people to help him move toward maturing Christ. Our friend Tina hardly even knows that there is a Jesus. She is very much in verse 13, in the domain of darkness. What she needs most in the world is a believing friend who is going to introduce her to Jesus. And also maybe introduce her to some other believing friends and to help her to move ahead in understanding who Jesus is and what he's done. Our friend Fabian may have a pretty good idea that there is a Jesus, but he hardly knows any Christian believers. And he hasn't a clue that Jesus has done all this to bring him life and freedom and peace. But the man cave would be just the job for Fabian. Doesn't matter where people are up to when we meet them. Everyone is on a journey. And where we long for everyone to go is over here, to mature in Christ. So any help that we can give them in moving in that direction to greater understanding, greater appreciation of Jesus. Now, sooner or later, obviously, there is going to be a line to cross. Sooner or later, any of us need to go from verse 13 in the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Sooner or later, any of us need to go from alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, to go from there to reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Sooner or later, we need to cross the line and trust in Jesus for ourselves. And we know, don't we, for some people, crossing the line happens in a public meeting full of people and with someone explaining the gospel, and where suddenly we get it and we pray for God to save us. For some people, like me, it happens alone in a room reading the Bible and God suddenly making the gospel very clear. For some people, crossing that line is a process that takes months, and they may not even be clear that that is what's happening. But it doesn't matter. However long and whatever way, we want people to learn to trust in Jesus and be saved. And we can see here, crossing the line is not the end of the story. Verse 10, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. My goodness, that's where we want everyone to go. And verse 28, everyone mature in Christ. And that makes everything very, very simple. What we really want is for all of us, wherever we are up to keep moving to the right in this diagram. To keep going away from hostile in mind and toward maturing Christ. We even know the means for it. It's down there in verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Or verse 23, the hope of the gospel that you heard. It's the great message about Jesus that is the means for helping us along. And for us as a church, everything we do, everything we work on, every ministry we have is geared to help us move in that direction. If we're working with playtime or with the English classes, we are somewhere, well, we're somewhere way over here on the left. We're wanting to open the door to help people encounter the gospel and move further towards mature in Christ. If we're planning the big barbecue, we're somewhere a bit left to the centre. And everything we do is there to help men move towards the right. If we're thinking of grilled or granatas, we're thinking of people on the right of that line who want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and want to encourage each other further to the right. If we're working with kids' church, we've got people both sides of that middle line, but all of them we want to help move further to the right. And we want to because it is all about Christ. Because he is the great firstborn of all creation, and yet he makes peace by the blood of his cross. That is so brilliant. Of course we want to learn it better, and we want everyone else to as well. And that is even where our money comes in. We'll be having our AGM next month, and all the details will be published. But to do everything we are doing together this year, we as members need to give $140,000. That is around $2,700 a week to do the things that we've just been thinking about. It can only come from us, the members. We are the only ones who pay to support the work here. Now, I don't have $140,000. I don't imagine any of us do. But for us together, $140,000 is entirely doable. $2,700 a week, entirely doable. And all of it is in support of helping people move further to the right, wherever they are up to move further toward maturing Christ. And why would we pay for that? Why would we put our hard-earned money into supporting people moving from left to right? We do it because this is Jesus. We put money in the box or we arrange for electronic payment because we love our church and because this is Jesus and we really believe in presenting everyone mature in Christ. Like we do kids' church, like we do scripture classes, like we do the high tea, like we support our BFGs, like we put in the time and the work and the money, because it is all about Christ. Because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created in heaven and on earth. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he has now reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before him. He's worth it, isn't he? It's all about Christ. It is all about Christ. Well, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of your beloved Son. We stand amazed that Christ, the firstborn of all creation, would give himself for us. We pray that you would help us to live lives fully pleasing to you. And we pray that this year, in all our ministries, as we work and talk and plan, that you would work in our lives and in the lives of the people around us to move us all toward a greater appreciation of who Jesus is and what he has done, and to maturity in him. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.